Hello and welcome, everybody. I'm Alexandria Barker, and I'm so happy to welcome you to this call. It's all about self-love and the self-love tools that you're going to be learning today from my special guest, Carrie Rolden. They're going to give you the confidence and the know-how to connect with your intuitive voice, which will not only guide you in the direction of your dreams, but will also help you lose weight and stay healthy, because she's focusing on running. So she's going to help us keep that intuitive voice while we're running. So if you've been trying to practice self-love and the law of attraction, but you're still not feeling really worthy or deserving or enough in your life, then the missing link you've been searching for may be right here on this call. So I'm really excited for you, and I think you're going to get so much out of it. Today, you're going to hear all about Carrie's Run Yourself Happy system and how she helps busy moms to trust their butts. No, wait a minute. Trust their guts and shrink their butts. I love that. So they can gain confidence and achieve their secret dreams. So today in this call, Carrie is going to cover how to shift your mindset around exercise from self-punishment to self-love. So you will learn a quick and easy technique to stop criticizing yourself and your body. You're going to learn how to avoid excuses and injuries associated with running. And plus, she has a special offer just for you on the call today. So I'm so happy to introduce you to our guest speaker, Carrie Rolden, creator of the Run Yourself Happy System and the author of a soon-to-be-released book of the same title. Now, Carrie is an author, a speaker, and a coach who lives in Huntington Beach, California. She's a busy mom with three young kids and has built a thriving business helping busy moms find their purpose and live it. She is a former NCAA Division I runner, high school teacher, high school and college track and cross-country coach, and she has the unique skill set of being both a running expert and a life coach. So Carrie's book, Run Yourself Happy, a 5-week training plan to release anxiety and create space for miracles, will be out soon this year. So please join me in welcoming Carrie. Carrie, it's so nice to have you on this call today.
Thank you. It's so good to be here. Thank you for that introduction.
You're welcome. Well, you've done a lot. You are a busy mom. So
I know when I hear you say it.
Yeah, and then you're like, how do I have time to run? So, actually, I love the title of your upcoming book, and I wonder, how did you come up with this title, Run Yourself Happy, and what does that mean to you?
It's kind of a funny title, and yet it tells you exactly what will happen. So, what happened for me is that I've always been kind of a perfectionist achiever type person. In fact, it's funny now raising my own children and watching them and making choices for their life and their upbringing. But, I was a gymnast. First I was a ballet dancer as a young girl and then a gymnast, and then I went straight into running cross country and track when I got to high school. And so I was in these sports where you're kind of individually focused and driven. And I just had this perfectionist achiever mentality, and I was the straight-A student, and I walked the straight and narrow, and I just really did everything right. I was a total rule follower in my early life. And the thing that I noticed is that when I graduated college, so I was an achiever all through high school, all through college, and I was a very highly competitive athlete all through high school and college. And that was sort of my world and my life, and running in particular was super important to me as far as my achievement in that world. But I was learning, especially in college, that I had like intuitive nudges. And initially these came with my body wanting rest or me knowing that I needed rest and choosing to ignore them. But as my life went on, and especially in choosing a career, I just really wasn't listening to my intuition because I was following the plan, my plan to happiness, right? I was following like what I thought I needed to do. So I was looking for happiness in things I could check off my list. And I had a list. I had like this life plan. By the time I'm 30, this is what's going to happen in my life. And it's funny, right? Because I really believed like, okay, I'm going to do all these things and then I'm going to live happily ever after. Like, I'll get these things done by the time I'm 30 and then I'll be happy. And so they were, you know, things I could check off my list. They were find the right man and marry him, get a good job, buy a house, have kids, and then probably get a better house and maybe a better neighborhood with a pool and hardwood floors. But I just, what happened for me basically is that I got that life and I hit 30 and I was totally unfulfilled. You know, like I had the life I thought I wanted, and I wasn't happy. And I wasn't unhappy. Yeah, yeah.
It's very revealing, isn't it, when you think you got everything and you're still not feeling the happiness that you associated with the getting.
Right. And what happened for me is the more I tried to fill myself up with the right actions, right? Like I got everything, so then I thought, okay, now, you know, now what? Well, now I need, you know, a better car, or I need, what was happening for me is I was doing things perfectly. I was had my perfect house and I was the perfect wife, and I was, you know, vacuuming at 4 p.m. before my husband got home and dinner was on the table, and like I was doing all these things that I thought like there's got to be some satisfaction and some fulfillment in it, and there wasn't. And especially this was true in my job. I was a high school teacher and coach, and I recognized I loved running. I loved being at practice. I loved being their coach. But being in the classroom was just kind of okay for me, and I recognized that while I was a good teacher, I wasn't doing it for the right reasons. I was a high school teacher because it provided me the schedule I needed to be a high school coach. So it felt icky. So when I got pregnant, fast forward, got married, got pregnant, and I saw that as a way out. You know, I saw it as an escape. Like, okay, well, I'll just stay home with my children. And I was, you know, fortunate enough to be in a situation where we could almost afford that. But what happened is do it for me. You know, that didn't staying home with my kids was just another place for me to look outward for happiness.
Oh, I think a lot of our listeners will relate to this story.
Yeah. And, you know, then this became this whole, there was kind of this whole, there's this mom competitive world, and I got sort of obsessed in parenting philosophies and things like that. But really, it was just another place for me to achieve. And I recognized that I was like this achievement addict. And I really hit rock bottom, actually not that long ago. It was maybe a year and a half ago where I just had been striving and striving and striving. I was looking for some sort of purpose or meaning or validation still outside of myself. And this is after I had done pretty extensive personal growth work. From the time I became a stay-at-home mom, I started searching. When I felt that emptiness, I started searching. And I did a ton of personal growth work. But it was really just still recognized I was still trying to find myself in achievement. So I was starting businesses, or I was signing up for races, or I was, you know, getting on a crash diet, or I was doing all of these things that were external. And about a year ago, so the constant for me was running. It was something that it was a place for me to clear my head, but it was also really just the one thing that was sort of sustaining through the process. And a little over a year ago, I was on a run, and I was just feeling really down and really empty and really not knowing if my marriage was going to work. And I say that, you know, in a very different place right now, but it was because of my own dissatisfaction with myself that I was upset with my husband, because I didn't feel seen, heard, validated, valued. I was doing, looking for validation, but I wasn't honoring the call of my soul. I wasn't honoring my own intuitive voice. I was pushing those things away and basically telling that voice, listen, okay, I got it, but I'll be happy when? Once he can just, and I was on a run and basically got like a spiritual download. It was, and there was an amazing series of synchronicities that happened after that, but mostly it just, the book whispered itself in my ear. The title came to me in kind of a flash, and it was a knowing. It was a knowing not only like, do you need to write this book and here's what you need to do, but you need to run yourself through this process. You need to do this. And all kinds of guidance appeared and some really, I mean, like, you know about this type of synchronicities that happen when you align with yourself. Yeah, but that's what happened. And so I guess that's kind of a long answer to a short story, long convoluted answer to a short question. But it really is the perfect story, I think, for your topic today, which is about self-love. Because when I was sitting in perfectionism, I was fighting against myself and against my life. And what I recognized in that moment of download and what happened after that is that I just had to love myself enough to trust my intuition and open up to the miracles that life had in store for me.
And the miracles really happen, don't they? As soon as you take that step, it's exactly what you just said, trusting your intuition and then just allowing the miracles. I know that, so you're here to help us share, you're going to share secrets of how to trust our guts and shrink our butts. That should be like a tagline or something. It's great. I liked rhymes, So my
Me
first
too.
Book was Relief Beyond Belief, and that was. But right. I know from like both my book titles were the same way. I didn't come up with them; they were like given to me.
Yeah.
And so I totally can relate to that. How you get these beautiful concepts and visions when you do open up and trust to these inner knowing. So how would you like to begin with teaching us how to get the confidence to achieve our secret dreams?
Yeah, okay. Well, so that's what I've noticed in, right, because I'm just on this journey with everybody else, and I've written this book, and I'm, but what I have noticed is that the people that I'm attracting, right, they're all wanting to come to me because the trust your gut thing, right? It's funny. I have some people who are like, so what is that? Is that like, are you gluten-free? Is that and I'm
right.
talking about trusting your intuition. but it's about, when you do that, and of course the process that I take people through involves running for some really powerful reasons. But so when you do that, the shrink your butt thing just starts to happen. It happens automatically. But what I want to get at is that people are coming to me because they say, I'll feel better when I lose just 15 pounds or 20 pounds or, whatever. And then I take them through this process, and it's totally a process of self-love. So that's where it starts. It starts with self-love. And it's a spiritual journey. So, for a really long time, I was afraid or embarrassed to even talk about my spiritual journey. I grew up in this just Western culture, and I thought it was the spiritual side of me, like it was this thing that felt really good. It felt really intuitive. I was waking up early to make time for a spiritual practice. But I really did believe that it was like kind of separate from my real life. Like it was something I did. And then, I would meditate. Yes. And the more, and I was a little bit embarrassed by it. I was kind of embarrassed to like be this, hippie granola freak that believed in the law of attraction and that our thoughts become things and talking about miracles was kind of a weird space for me. And so it just took me a while to kind of step into and embrace my spiritual side. But the more I've done that, the more just in alignment I've been with the truth of that and the truth that we all are spiritual beings, the more miraculous my life has become. So As you know,
Yeah,
and it's a total journey, and I think I needed to get to that rock bottom place of like, well, I've just got to do this, like I've got to follow this, or I'm gonna break. And I don't know if I explained that very well, but that's where I was in my marriage. It was like, if I don't follow this call of my soul, which for me was like to try, I wanted to become an author, a speaker, and a coach, and I just didn't feel that was my secret dream. I just didn't feel qualified, you know, and I didn't know how. And I really, I did have to get to a place, right, kind of a breaking point, a broken open place where it was like, I've got to trust this little voice inside of me, or I'm going to go on living this half-life that I'm currently living.
And
I wasn't willing to do that.
It's different, isn't it, when you have children, because then you're thinking about what kind of an example are you setting for them. And if you don't want them to perpetuate the same kind of unfulfilled life, then you better do something with yours. So, you know, otherwise, how can you possibly advise them when you haven't, when you're not walking your walk, you know, and talking
yes.
talk, you know?
And when they were little, and they're still little, but my oldest is 9, and I just recognize, like, wow, I need to get this together now. You know, like the clock is ticking, and I need her to see me step into the fullness of myself, because I don't want her to grow up to live this kind of life. So, yes, absolutely. And I need to stress, too, it was a good life, like, by all accounts, from the outside looking in, like, and I think that's maybe where a lot of the guilt and shame associated that we do to ourselves came from, is like, what do I have to complain about?
Oh,
I have
yeah.
this life, you know, I have this life that most people want. But I wasn't following the call of my soul, and so it wasn't fulfilling for me. So
running is what helped you really connect with that. What do you think it was? Because I used to run too before all my knee gave out, and I know that it, you know, that time alone. I had a busy household. I had 4 kids, and you know, it was nice to just have some time on my own and just run. And you get to that space, you know, where you might start off feeling tense, you might start off feeling, you know, all the tension of the day or stresses, but then you get to that very nice place where you're just kind of going with the flow and your breath is just, you know, coming very naturally, and that's when, for me, that's when I would really find the peace. That's why I got so hooked on running. So I'm assuming kind of the same was for you.
Absolutely. So, in fact, thank you. Because that's what happens, is a lot of us think we want to run or become, like, I was an athlete, right? So running was, I went to practice and I was training for something, and it was exercise, and it was also, you know, a part of my identity and all of that. But yes, that is what happened for me, is especially when once I stepped away from that world, I eventually stopped after my 3rd child. I stopped being a cross country and track coach, and just knew I needed to run every day to keep myself sane. And, you know, reached an age just where I wasn't, I didn't want to, like, compete. I didn't want to use exercise as self-punishment anymore. I didn't want to use it as, like, this anxiety-creating thing where I got to do this and this fast and work so hard and, you know, like, get out the door and just really, I don't know, hammer. Like, it was a completely different thing where I recognize, oh my gosh, running is my sanity. Running is the space to clear my head. And, you know, I've created this Run Yourself Happy system, and I talk a lot about it in the book too, which I can't wait for it to come out so that you guys can all read it. But it's, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's some really cool things that happen physiologically in your body that sort of make running a space to connect with the divine. Like, there's some pretty cool stuff that happens, but ultimately, absolutely, yes, that's what it can become. It becomes your meditation in motion. And so that's what happened for me, is that running, if you can use your daily run as a spiritual practice, if you can view your daily run as self-love, as me time, not as you know, like, okay, I need to fit into my jeans, and so I'm going to work so hard, and I'm going to...
So they're already criticizing themselves and punishing themselves with their thoughts. Yeah. No, I just, Carrie, I know that not everybody is a runner. I mean, I know I used to. I used to do my 5K a day, and I loved it. And but I've switched over time. Now I've got a couple of decades on you, I believe. So, I mean, your body changes over time. And, you know, like now I just don't feel that that's appropriate, you know, option for me because I want to stay mobile like for a long time. So I walk, I do yoga, I'm on my treadmill, I'm on my rebounder. What about other people who just don't want to run or aren't able to? Do you have any words of wisdom for them that will connect, to keep them feeling connected throughout this call?
Yes, absolutely. So first of all, I would encourage anybody listening to download my free report entitled The 5 Reasons You Can't Afford Not to Run, because it actually does dispel a few myths about running and will hopefully just encourage those of you who have been unwilling to reconsider. And I so hear what you're saying. So let me tell you where you can get the free report. It is just http://freereport.com/ freereport.runyourselfhappysystem.com.
And I'm going to include this link, actually, for when I'm going to post this call on my website, and I will have the link there so people don't have to run and scramble and get a pen. I will include that. But it's nice to have it on the recording as well, so thank you.
Perfect. But so here's the thing, is that one of the myths we have about running, and I'll just give that to you right now. That's one of the things on my free report. But one of the myths is that we think that it's bad for our joints. We think that it is like causes this wear and tear on our bodies. But really, as it turns out, that isn't entirely true. In fact, science is now showing us that quite the opposite is true. It just so happens that most of us are running and doing all kinds of exercise because we are not in proper alignment, because we're spending too much time sitting at computers, because there's all kinds of reasons why we're out of alignment. And so there's some pretty cool, one of the things that I include in the Run Yourself Happy system is yoga therapy, which is just postural therapy to get straighten your body before you strengthen. Because you're right, if you head out the door and start pounding the pavement, and you're not in your body is not in proper alignment, you're going to strengthen imbalances and you're going to experience pain and you're going to get hurt. But even if you're not willing to run, to answer your question, no, you're not out of luck. because I will say that I absolutely created the Run Yourself Happy system, which I'll be opening up again at the end of May, but I created that because of the powerful shifts that happen while running. But I've had people bike their way or walk their way through the system and get really great results too, because a huge part of it is what I mentioned, meditation in motion. It's getting out the door.
Yeah.
It's getting in nature. And there is something so powerful and symbolic about moving forward in the world, you know, and doing your spiritual practice. And I offer all kind of techniques and some pretty awesome MP3s and things like that, but it's taking your spiritual practice out with you in the world. And one of the things that running has always been for me is a metaphor for life. you know, I used to teach my athletes about how pain comes in waves, and, you know, we would do hill workouts, and I would talk about, hey, you know, it's sometimes you're going up, sometimes you're going down, but here's the deal. when you're going uphill, don't fight it. Don't resist, you know, just go. And when you're really near the top of the hill, that's when you need to give it a little extra push, because you know you're about to get, you know, everything's about to fall into place and you're about to run that downhill with just like ease and effortless and flow. And so I love that. I love that about running. And certainly you can do that walking. You can do it on a bike. For sure the physiological benefits happen because you're outdoors and because you're doing cardiovascular activity.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I totally get it for those people who are like, oh, running, I can't run, I hate running. running is punishment in our society, right? Like, how many sports have we been involved in where they're like, you better do this or you're going to run laps? right? So, but for a minute, we can just say, maybe that is a negative association that I have. And maybe that's not true. But, I mean, that's what's so great about the book and the Run Yourself Happy system is that the tools I offer are actually going to turn running into something totally different.
I'm really excited to read your book, and I know the satisfaction I got from it. And actually, I did have a prior injury which was exacerbated by the running and that. So I really don't feel that's an option for me personally. But I know a lot of people.
Right.
You know, I have a daughter with two small children who's going to be running with a double stroller.
Right.
Her running, and I know that the clarity that comes, and you just, it's like the fog lifts, and now I do that with walking, I love it, just the feeling of your body, it feels like your body can do anything, it's like I feel like my body will do anything I ask of it. And I taught fitness for 25 years too, so that was the same for me too. It was like in a really good fitness class, I had a lot of the same, but then of course you don't have the spiritual aspect so much because you're not alone, and I think being alone is a big part of this, wouldn't you think?
Yes, that's the thing, though. It's being in nature and doing the cardiovascular work and then taking your spiritual work with you when you do that. That's when the miracle, that's when the magic happens,
Mm-hmm.
That's when you're so open, you're so receptive. And quite frankly, like, I have a firm belief, this is so true for me, you have to get your body as tired as your mind. Like, our minds are racing all of the time, We're like our to-do list and our this. And it's really hard to distinguish what is guidance, what is, and what's just chatter going on in there.
A lot of self-criticism.
Yes.
I know that is something you've incorporated into your book, too. So, and you mentioned that you would have a quick and easy technique to stop criticizing yourself and your body and learn this acceptance and the self-love. So would you like to share a little bit?
Yes, yes. Thank you for keeping me on track because you know I can ramble. So here we go. okay. So you mentioned at the beginning of the call the things I was going to teach everybody. So first is how to shift your mindset around exercise from self-punishment to self-love. And that's really the basis of everything we've been talking about. It's just about making it a self-care practice, and the Run Yourself Happy system offers tools and techniques to do that. But ultimately, it is about deciding, I'm doing exercise not because I'm afraid of what will happen if I don't.
Right.
I'm getting out there because this is important for me. This is my time to connect with me and to connect with the voice of the divine that lives inside of me.
Oh, such a completely different mindset, eh?
Yeah.
Totally different mindset than just like, I've got to get out there or I'm not going to be able to fit in my jeans.
Yes, which is what I used to do. It was like I had to make time for running or make time to get to the gym, but it was for all the wrong reasons, and my life wasn't working.
Lack of acceptance of where you are right now, So it'd be like, I'm here because I'm making myself do this grueling activity, but if I stop, I'm not going to be acceptable, to myself or probably anybody else,
When I was doing that, like, nothing in my life was working. The minute I shifted my ideas around exercise to self-love, and for me that was running, and you can tell I'm super passionate about it, but everything in my life shifted, So I promised a quick and easy technique to stop criticizing yourself and your body.
Oh, that's
And this
awesome.
Is so easy.
Great.
Yeah, it's so easy. It's like so simple, it's ridiculous. So I learned this from Gabrielle Bernstein. I read May Cause Miracles, which was also fantastic. I highly recommend. It is like a 40-day program that it requires a little discipline, but wow, does it cause miracles. So, and Gabrielle Bernstein. What? No, it's her name is Gabrielle Bernstein. She's an author, and her book, the book, she has lots of books. In fact, she has a new one, but the one that I'm talking about is a book called May Cause Miracles.
Oh, May Cause Miracles. Okay, I thought, set. She's talking about the Course in Miracles, because I was going to say that's on an audio book on YouTube if anybody wants to listen to it while they're
Yes, well, and she probably, like, she is a student of A Course in Miracles, so she probably got it from Marianne Williamson, who most likely got it from A Course in Miracles, but here it is. When you hear yourself criticizing yourself, like this graphic example, but I used to do this all the time. I was so critical of my body, and I was constantly like pinching my fat, and I would sit down and grab my belly fat and like just be disgusted with myself and like kind of hold on to my belly fat and say like, ah, I just want you to be gone. Or like, ah, if I could just get rid of this. Aww. And I know, so sad, right?
I did the same thing, but now when I hear that, I just think about how mean we are to our bodies. And if we thought about them as our best friend or as our child, we would never be like that. So, sorry.
Yes,
I know.
It's a simple mind shift. It's a simple mind shift is when you catch yourself. You catch yourself in the moment of self-criticism. Even if you completely agree with yourself, just say these words. I choose love instead of this.
Oh, nice.
That's it. And you can say it. You might have to say it 150 times a day. But what it does is it stops the tape that's playing in your head. It stops the cycle of self-criticism.
Nice.
When you can hear the voice, even if you're like, whatever, you know, like, okay, Carrie, your belly fat's still there and you still don't feel good enough because you have belly fat. It's the idea of like, I'm willing to think differently. I'm willing to love myself. And so that has just been so helpful is when I find myself in self-criticism to just stop and say, I choose love instead of this. And then maybe say it again and again and again.
So simple. I mean, the best of the tools are the simple ones that you can, you know, just use in the moment, like in the heat of the moment, and just make that your habitual. That is the best way because, you know, there's so many, we always have this constant criticism going on. And, if you know, having a tool like this at your disposal is really helpful. So thank you so much for sharing this with us.
You're welcome. It's pretty easy. It just all comes down to willingness. And, And so I think we've covered everything. I'm looking I promised to cover how to avoid the excuses and injuries associated with running. But I've already mentioned the free report, and you said you were going to post a link to that, so I won't bother going over what that is.
Yeah, you don't have to.
And then I mentioned... and I mentioned yoga therapy as well, which I do. I mean, it has been a godsend in my life, and I'm like, there's a part of me that is like, oh, I hope Alexandria will do this or try this, and maybe you already are. But I was, you're right. I was much younger than you, but I had really, really done some damage to my body from all the years of training the way that I had been training and training at such a high level. And I reached my mid-30s and really thought I wasn't going to be able to run every day anymore because I would run a day and then I would be in so much pain I would need to take like 3 or 4 or 5 days off.
Yeah,
and then I would run a day and I would –
like me, if I run and my knee swells up and it's like, okay, now I can't even walk.
Yeah.
But I will try that.
Yes.
That's in your book, and I'm a yoga teacher, so I mean, I'm sure it would be easy for me, and probably the way that you've outlined it, I'm sure it'd be easy for our listeners as well, because it's something that I still miss. You know, I get on my rebounder, and I'm jogging on my rebounder, and I don't want to be out running, you know, but...
Yeah.
But I'm going to try myself. Now, you also mentioned that you would have a special offer just for, you know, our friends on the call today.
I do. And I'm really excited about this. So as you guys have probably heard in my voice is that, and what I mentioned at the beginning of the call, which we haven't really talked about that much, is how all of this can help you live your secret dreams, right?
Let's give a little bit of airtime to that. If you still, we have a few more minutes if you'd like to elaborate.
Well, just mostly that, you know, connecting with the call of your soul, which I firmly believe the best place to do that is in nature and during running or at least some cardiovascular exercise. But really, I believe, creates the space in your life for miracles. And when I got clear about that, it happened really quickly for me, to where, like, that secret dream that felt really, I mean, kind of ridiculous to believe in to me, it felt like that was for other people. It happened, and it happened in the most miraculous of ways, and it happened just from learning how to live my gifts, listening to the call of my soul, and starting to understand what my unique gifts, talents, and abilities are. And
that is so important. What that's probably the most important part of your journey, and, you know, like,
yeah,
that's something that we all have to do is take that inner journey and find out, like, we all have these, as you say, these unique gifts, and it's up to us to explore them and share them.
Yeah. So that's what I would like to offer your audience is I do a little something with your, if you're a runner or not, but it's a Live Your Gifts discovery session, and it's just a one-on-one call that I would like to gift to you and to your audience so that, you know, if you are feeling like there is this bigger purpose for you, but you're kind of like, I don't even know what I'm good at. I mean, I can't tell you how unqualified I felt. And I think I really have a heart and a passion for people who are in that same boat, who feel their own potential. They're almost like busting at the seams with it, and yet they don't feel qualified or capable or competent to do anything more than what they're already doing. And I have a passion for that. And so I just want to offer a Live Your Gifts session with me to anybody who is listening to this call. So I think the easiest way to do that is just if you can send me an email, at which my email is coachcarrieroldan@gmail.com. And if you put in the subject line, and this is really important because I do want to know where you are coming from. I want to know, oh, I heard about you from Alexandria. So if you could put in the subject line, if you're interested in a Live Your Gift session, and you send me an email at Coach Carrie Roldan. I'm going to spell my name for you. It's Coach C-A-R-R-I.
Oh, I think I pronounced it wrong. I'm
sorry. Oh, everyone
sorry,
does.
But, you know what? I'm going to put that in with the call as well.
Perfect.
So then you can spell it out if you like, but it's going to be, I'm going to list it as well.
Perfect. Okay. Coach Carrie Roldan, CarrieRoldan@gmail.com. And just put in the subject line, discovery session, and I will happily gift you a Live Your Gift session. We will schedule a time to get going with that and see where it takes you. But yeah, if you put discovery session in there, then I will know. Yeah, then I'll know where you came from and we can talk about this call.
Well, I know I'm definitely going to take you up on it because
okay,
I think that would be awesome, and I thank you for sharing that with my tribe, you know, with all my the listeners. So,
oh,
so
you're
thank
so
you
welcome.
Much. Did you
And
have
can
any...
you hear this?
Sorry, what?
Oh, I was just going to say, there's a tiny little voice in the background. That's my 3-year-old.
Oh, I thought I heard a little voice in the background. Well,
yeah.
Is there any final thoughts? I don't want to keep you away from...
No, because you hear the little 3-year-old saying, Mommy, I want a dress. No, just, you know, I could think my final thoughts are just that I would encourage anybody, you know, whether you do my free download or take me up on the free gifts, or that if you're going through, you know, Alexandria's program, which, by the way, I went through and I didn't even mention, I'm so remiss in not mentioning how that was just such a part of my journey and really opening up to miracles and getting clear.
Thank you.
And
you're
clear.
Seeing the wishful thanking.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you
and ultimately... You're welcome, because ultimately all of it, well, it really, in fact, to be totally honest, before this call, I knew, okay, I need to be, you know, I need to fully inhabit myself and be as grounded as I possibly can be. And I was nervous and excited to speak to your tribe. And so I got logged in to wishful thinking, and I did. Aww. I did my root chakra stuff.
Awesome.
Right before the call.
Awesome. Well, thank you for the plug. Yeah, it is a great
You're
program.
Welcome.
And I'm so happy that it had such a lasting impact. And people may recognize you from it, because I did post you did a beautiful testimonial for me, which is on my website. So
right.
So people can have a look at you and say hi.
Yes.
It's a nice video testimonial, so they can see your bright, shining, enthusiastic face, and
but that's what I would say is create a self-love practice. Create something for yourself, and for me it was stepping away from perfectionism and away from like getting it right and just creating a practice that feels good for yourself.
Yeah. And it's funny you should say that. That is exactly what I did with wishful thanking. After all the other law of attraction programs that I had purchased weren't working for me, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to just do what I do know works for me. What do I like?
Yep.
I like color therapy. Yep. I like crystals. I like aromatherapy. I like, you know, being outside. And so yeah. And and it just happened to resonate with a whole lot of other people as well. But, yeah, initially, and I think you're right that by saying it, calling it a practice, like make it like a daily routine, then it's going to really take root, you know, and really grow, and you'll be amazed at the difference.
Oh. And there is a component, right? You and I both know this. There is a component where there needs to be a dedication to the practice because, you know, like, you know, right, with meditation and with yoga and with – there are days where you don't want to do it or days where your life tries to trick you into thinking that you're too busy to do it. But that's why when you can call it self-love, when you can declare to yourself, I'm worthy and deserving and important enough to make the space for this in my life.
Really great advice, absolutely. And, you know, I was just watching a Teal Scott. I tend to watch her, too. I watch a lot of Abraham, but sometimes I'll put Teal on.
Yes.
Because she was doing something on self-love, and she was saying, you know, to make this also part of your practice is just kind of throughout the day, like, what would someone who loves himself do? So if your mind is going, oh, you don't need to go for your run, or you don't need to do your meditation or your wishful thinking program or whatever, you know, you don't need to bother, you can just go, well, what would someone who really loved themselves do? And that will kind of bring you back around to, you know what, they would probably do this self-love practice because they know that this is going to make a better future for them. They're going to have a better tomorrow if they do this today. You know? Anything that we can, because our egos will try to trick us and kind of dissuade us from doing what we know in our hearts we need to be doing.
And I work with a ton of busy moms, and that's like the number one thing is like, how can you give? How can you give the best of yourself to the world and to your children, like, if you're empty, if you're completely depleted? So find what fills you up and do it.
Yeah, and even spend those few minutes, like, what I used to say is because when I had, you know, three teenagers and a younger child in the home at the same time, and I was working two jobs, and I was like, I don't have time for any of this stuff. But I gradually started fitting that in, and for me, it ended up being like, even in the car before I, you know, I drive home from one job and I'd be sitting in the car and I would just like, I'm just going to sit here for like 5 minutes and just breathe.
Yes.
And even that, like in the very beginnings of my journey, that was enough to kind of pull me back. And then, so I at least was centered and balanced. So if I walked into a whole house being upside down, then, you know, at least I was still upright and I could sort of bring everybody else into focus as well. So, yeah, I think as a mom, it's really that much more important for moms to do.
And we could keep talking about this forever and ever, because I definitely feel like that. Like when you make the time for it, you think you don't have time, but you force the you make the time anyways because you know it's important. You make yourself a priority, so you carve out the time wherever you can, and that's when the miracle happens because, oh my gosh, time opens up for you. You know,
if you're telling yourself too, that I'm too busy, I have no time. Guess what you're going to create in your life? No time.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Even if you hear yourself say that, you can go like, I can take a few minutes. You know, just even something it's like that. Like, I choose to love myself. It's just like, I choose to have time.
I choose love instead of this.
It's like Easy World, which is another one I've been following lately. It's like, I choose Easy World, where everything is easy, including this.
Yes. And can I don't know about you, but I've been living there recently, and it is a great place to be.
Nice. It's nice. I never, ever want to go back to that hectic, you know, stressed out, you know, where you end up exploding at the people you love because you're so stressed and you haven't channeled it into some other more affirmative action, you know. But you're right. We have gone actually a little bit over time. So I want to be respectful of your time as well. So,
yes,
and my little adorable 3-year-old who's waiting for, is it a little girl?
Yes, she is.
She's waiting for her mom.
It's a little girl. She wanted to wear a dress, but not that I wouldn't put it. but yes, a little girl who is, she's been very patient and ready to play now. So, thank you. Just thank you so much for having me on the call. And to everybody who's listening, I can't wait to meet you.
Well, thank you. Thank you again, and Carrie. And it's been a real treat, and we'll have to do it again sometime. And I'll definitely be calling you and taking advantage of your free call, and I invite everybody listening to as well. So thank you once again, and have a great day and a great run and a fun
thank you. You too. All right. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. Bye for now. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
You need high heels.
Where are they, you think?